Well, today in the life of the church and more nationally, we're celebrating Mothering Sunday. And although it often gets abbreviated to Mother's Day, I think it's really important that we hold on to the full word, Mothering Sunday, because we are today marking and celebrating all the mothering that we receive. The mothering that we receive from God and from one another. And especially the mothering that we have, perhaps in the past, or perhaps even today, also receive from our mothers. Well, we say that God is Father, and that is primarily how the Bible describes him. But at the same time, there are a number of places where he behaves more, I think, like a mother. And in fact, I think God demonstrates both his perfect father and mother love for us. And they are different, aren't they, to a degree? All this begins right back in Genesis, where we're told that God creates men and women in his image. So both bear the likeness of God. God is visible in both men and women. And by the same token, surely that must mean that there are aspects of motherhood and fatherhood present in the heart of God himself. And then we find in a number of places, like the reading from Hosea, we learn about how God loves us in language that is very akin to that of a mother's love. In this chapter in Hosea, we learn how God taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. We learn that they didn't realize that it was he who healed them. We learn of the wrestling in God's heart. Ephraim had turned away from him, but he questioned, "How can I give you up? How can I hand you over?" These are mothering characteristics, aren't they? Mothers so often go unnoticed in the work that they do. We don't realize all that they've given to us until perhaps they're no longer there. Until that work is not done anymore. And mothers at times have to tread that very difficult path of tension when their children go astray, between continuing to love them and trying to draw them back, and sometimes having to speak words of discipline over them. But then we come to the New Testament and we meet Mary, the mother of Jesus, after whom our church is named, and we sit here today in what we call the Lady Chapel. For Christians, Mary, the mother of Jesus, has always been a very special person. In the Christmas story from Luke's Gospel, her relative Elizabeth says, "God has blessed you more than any other woman." Now, Christians believe that Jesus was God on earth for us. So that means that Mary, as we understand her, is the human mother of God. Now, some people think that Mary's only appearance in the Bible is as part of the nativity narrative. But Mary is mentioned elsewhere as well. In Luke chapter 2, just after the reading we had today, we meet her as the anxious mum, looking for her 12-year-old boy in Jerusalem. You know the story, they'd taken Jesus up to the temple, and on the way back, Mary turns to Joseph and says, "Is Jesus with you?" And Joseph turns to Mary and says, "Is he with you?" And classic sort of parent thing, neither of them really knew what the other one was doing, and they both realize they've left him behind. Of course, the significant thing is that where they find him is teaching the rabbis, a 12-year-old teaching grown men in the temple, which speaks something about who he was and came to be. So she was a concerned parent at times. She was an anxious mum. I'm sure she went through all the experiences that a mother does as Jesus grew up. And in those last few years of his life, those last 3 years, watching, waiting, wondering what would happen to him. And we meet her as the grieving mother at the foot of the cross, where she sees her own son die. And on this occasion, Jesus asks his disciple John to look after his mother and to treat her as his own. Now, tradition suggests that John did just that until Mary's own death. The very last mention of Mary in the Bible is of her being present in the upper room after the resurrection, awaiting the promise of the Holy Spirit, along with the other Christians in Acts chapter 1. So Mary teaches us a number of things, whether we're a man or a woman, I believe. Take, for example, the news that she was given as a young teenage girl, that she would be to bear the Son of God. The angel Gabriel comes with that message. It's so unexpected to her, and it surely didn't make any sense to her. I wonder what she thought about it all. Well, we're told in one of the gospel accounts that she pondered all these things in her heart and eventually came to the conclusion that she would do as God said. Let it be to your servant as you have said. But this places her in great danger. She is pregnant outside of marriage. The Jewish laws of the day condemn such a person to death. So Mary has to go perhaps and hide with her sister Elizabeth in the south, away from her own community. And despite her understandable fear, she keeps going. She demonstrates that quality of motherhood which we laud and magnify and greatly appreciate. Mothers just keep going, don't they? They'd never seem to stop. Mary, despite her understandable fear, bursts into song. And the poem she sings, from the Latin of its first words, the Magnificat, is the reading that we had second today. And it's a regular part of worship in the Christian church. Mary is amazed about all that God has done for her. She's touched by his character. But this reveals also something about the character of Mary, doesn't it? Reveals her to be a humble servant of God. And that, to me, is also another really important characteristic of mothers. So towards the last time that we read about Mary, we see her at Jesus' own cross. To see your own child die before you must be a parent's worst nightmare. And perhaps our thoughts today turn particularly to mothers who have had to experience that, and mothers today who are caring for sick children, for dying children. So today is a day where we celebrate the gift of mothering to us. And we turn our attention to pray for mothers and to all who mother us. We give thanks for what we've received, and we pray for those who are mothers. And perhaps in a moment of quiet now, we bring to mind our own mothers. We give thanks to God for them. And we just pause and pray for any we know who are mothering others today, particularly those mothering in difficult circumstances. So let's just take a moment of quiet to reflect upon that.